Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We have not talked a lot about this game because they better win it.
They just better win.
That, like, it really is. Like, the, in terms of the game, the Browns have the edge. Vegas, it was either 2 or 2.5 points the last time I checked. And on the road, I understand that the Browns have road bugaboos, which...
They lost 12 straight.
If that's why you... And I think they've lost 9 straight against the spread as well. So if you're just looking at it and going, well, they're just not good on the road, no. You should win this game.
We are down to 1.5 as the spread. It has moved. It opened to 2.5. We are down to 1.5.
It moved.
Over under in this game, 37.5 for those keeping score at home. Vegas really, really... stops at about 35 or so, but 37.5. I mean, it's easily going to be the lowest over under total of the week, I would imagine. And they are
you tempted to bet the over?
Well, they at 35 is where they really draw the line, and they don't really go under 35. It's very, very rare, but that's like the tempting point. And I would imagine if it keeps creeping lower and lower. In fact, I mean, 37.5. We're basically there. I'm getting tempted.
Tempted.
But I don't know how it's going to happen. Is the other part of this?
Now, we did find out today that Shedeur Sanders will be the backup. He will be active on Sunday. How you feeling? Feeling good?
I feel fine. Do I need to do a spit take or something? Feel fine.
That direction.
Yeah,
the direction.
We don't make those jokes yet. So Ken's take was that he'd be inactive, or he was fine with him being inactive.
I think he wanted him to be inactive.
He wanted him to be inactive. Why?
We're doing what the morning show does. I think this is what they said.
All the videos suggest that he looks good. The team is telling you now that he is fine and cleared. He should be active.
I still just don't believe that.
I don't really care one way or another if he's active or inactive, because I don't want his first start to be, or his first debut coming after a halftime benching.
You don't want him against the Jets? Against this defense?
All right, let me take that back for a second. This might be the only time I will be perfectly cool.
Yeah, you don't want him against the Ravens next week.
Yeah, with it being like, hey, halftime, it's not going very well. Dylan, you're out. Shedeur in. And I feel like Shedeur will still have the same opportunities as other weeks.
So we did have on the midday show today, Josh Booty. Remember him? The spectacular booties out there. Josh, John David, Abram Booty, General Booty.
Jake.
Duty Booty, all the booties.
I'm horny.
We're part of the Booty football dynasty. And Josh Booty, he was on Baskin Phelps today and talked about the competition between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Dylan was like, wow, I wonder why they would draft a guy to be in the quarterback room right after they drafted him. So, I mean, looking over your shoulder a little bit, and then the media, of course, you know, glorifies, of course, the Shedeur draft pick, you know, and his status in the national spotlight stuff. I mean, all that. It's got to be hard on Dylan, and then Shador's got to go prove himself too, because they're not paying him as much. He was a guy that maybe should have been drafted early, and people didn't want to jump in there on him. So, I mean, it's tough for both of them, to be honest. You know, Shedeur's not going to get the reps, and Dylan Dylan is a good hand. He's a gamer. We all know that. He's like a little Steve Young type of guy, a player. He plays hard, you know, scrappy. I hate that both of them are having to kind of deal with each other in the locker room. And, you know, that's a tough situation, man, because unless they have a good friendship, it's going to be rough every day in there because they're both just going for it.
I mean, come on. I've thought a lot of players before with the Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, no. They're both.
I've never once thought Steve Young.
Yeah, like a miniature.
Yeah, like a mini Steve Young.
I got a couple of those mini helmets from Rydell.
Yeah.
Like a mini helmet of like a real helmet.
Yeah. I got a mini version of Secretariat too. It's called a pony.
Andrew?
Yeah. That was silly of you. That was very silly.
Now, we got to stop doing this crap. With respect to Josh, who I know played in the NFL, played in minor league baseball as well, we got to stop doing this crap. I understand that there are more advantageous quarterback rooms to be in, right? Like when we had Baker. It was you're going to give him Baker, and then you give Baker another Texas guy. Case Keenum's going to be the backup. Then you'll probably have like a guy on the practice squad or somebody that was in camp with you in case you need to go to him. And so the idea is he doesn't have to worry about being pushed. He can just worry about being the best version of himself. Even that doesn't work out. Like, I just continue to come back to this idea of I don't give a rip if it's fair or if Dylan or Shador feel some sort of way about this quarterback room. No, if you don't like it, put the work in and go play well, and the other guy will go away.
Yeah.
This idea that there's a fair or there's a right way the Browns could have done this. Listen, should the Browns have done a four-way quarterback battle, which we really know is just a three-way quarterback battle plus Shador? No. No, they did not stick the landing on that. To this point, the whole thing has failed, and it's failed just as badly as you thought it might fail. Actually, that's not true, because you actually have won two games. But to get back to it, Dylan's got to really feel it. Who gives a rip? And I don't mean that personally to Dylan, and I don't mean it personally to Shador. You do not have to coddle these guys.
It's just life in the NFL.
They're professionals.
Yeah, it's life in the NFL at this point, Nick. Like, that's it. When you're given the opportunity, and I've told this to him, if I told this to one Shador fan, I feel like I've told it to a million Shador fans. Like, part of what I agree with in the Shador discourse is that the situation doesn't get to be the discussion. It never has been. Even in Colorado, it was always like, oh, he's got a poor offensive line and he's got a poor that. But any Colorado fan I talked to was like, we didn't make excuses for that because he never made excuses for that. Well, that's got to be part of the story here, too.
I think the other part of the story that we have to address here, and I think you might have said something like this when I was out earlier this week, but the deeper we get into this, unless a quarterback, the Browns are in a position to draft a quarterback, or multiple quarterbacks establish themselves in the NFL draft conversation,
mm-hmm.
or a veteran that people would actually want to go to becomes available, we have to deal with the idea of, like, I think we all thought, well, Dylan and Shador this year, and then we'll see in 2026. Now it feels like, well, Dylan versus Shador actually feels like who's going to be the starter next year?
Yeah.
Unless you get lucky. Like, it's no longer the plan of we got to find that quarterback in 2026. It now feels like, well, which one of these guys plays best is going to get the crack next year. The other guy will be the backup. Maybe you draft another guy in the mid rounds. And then you find your quarterback in 2027, which sounds like hell to me, by the way.
But it might be where we're going. I mean, the difference between the 2026 and 2027 quarterback drafts right now seem pretty drastic. But also on top of that, the 2026 quarterback class, maybe you take a guy and maybe that guy just sits for six or seven games, does the Drake May like he did in New England. That's on the table as well. All this is on the table. You have to squeeze more out of a third and a fifth round pick, though. You can't have it be the competition was Dylan versus Shador, and then next year we're just going to act like both of these quarterbacks don't exist.
Well, no, they'll still be here because I think that's crucial. If they did,
you have to get something out of them.
What do you mean?
Even from a backup quarterback standpoint.
Well, isn't that I think the
I'm
plan
agreeing with
Dylan?
You. I'm agreeing with you is the point.
Because I think, like, Shador's the one you're not going to get something out of. Like, I think he's the guy that if he's not the starter next year, could just be gone.
If that's what it ends up being, that's what it ends up being. But the point is that you have to find the value in there somewhere between the third and the fifth round pick. You can't just say we took these guys and then just throw them away as if they're days old Chinese food. You have to actually do something with these guys. And if that ends up being you start four or five games, instead of going out there in free agency and getting a stopgap quarterback before you then throw the 2026 quarterback out there, then great. But you got to use these guys and you got to find a way to use these guys.
I just think the kind of like when we talked earlier about Miles and, you know, are they going to trade Miles, this, that, and the other? Is March the new deadline or whatever? I think the ultimate wild card is if Barry and Stefanski aren't here. Because if Barry and Stefanski aren't here,
well, then the gloves are off.
Well, then neither guy might be here.
Well, again, the gloves are off. Like the new GM doesn't owe any of these quarterbacks or draft picks anything.
Yeah.
You just don't. That's just how this works.
216-474-0092. Are Shador and Dylan Gabriel actually battling to be the Browns bridge quarterback next season? I know that when we've talked Kyler Murray, that feels bleak. Or when we've mentioned Tua or Mac Jones or any of the quarterbacks that could be available.
Yeah.
That feels bleak for people. To me right now, much more bleak than that is I have to sit through another season of Shador or Dylan. Unless one of them does something over the final nine games of the season.
Open up the idea that if Shador looks good and wins the job and then just can be the starter next year, that's a great thing, all things considered. Like I like that being on the table. Having Dylan start next year would be very nauseating to me.
216-474-0092, unless he does something in the final nine games.
Did you see Kenny Pickett last night?
I went 0-for-1.
He popped up late third quarter. I looked up and I said, oh, is that Kenny Pickett on my screen?
And then Geno Smith realized he was about to get Wally pipped by a really crappy quarterback.
And he rushed himself right back in.
And all of a sudden that quad didn't hurt so bad.
Yeah, if only Brock Purdy had a little bit of Geno Smith in him that way.
He's getting Wally pipped. We'll have that conversation at some point. It's happening in real time. Nick, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Appreciate you. So I think that we have a concern here with the Browns being able to punt next year on the QB in the draft. We have to pick one in this upcoming draft. We traded back. We got the extra first. You know, a year ago we yelled and said we better wait because the 2026 QB draft, Arch Manning, Mendoza, Carson Beck, whatever names we threw out there, we can't punt again given the assets that we have. We can't draft another middle rounder and then let this three quarterback, you know, we talk about throwing the Myles Garrett prime away. We can't do that again. I don't think the fans will take that. I don't think the owners will take that. It's either Shador's the answer and it's been, you know, we see 6-7 games and say, oh, he's the answer, and we run with him and say we stake our claim, or we draft a quarterback in the first round.
But Nick, real quick, buddy, what if this is like last year's draft where there's one guy that is a potential first rounder, like when I'm talking like top 10 pick, and he goes one and you have the number two pick? Are you suggesting just at QB1 no matter what?
No, I think that I'll shoot it back to you. Do you think that there is Cam Ward and then a big gap like we saw last year and ended up being Shador in the fifth round we thought was the QB2. I mean, I look at Ty Simpson and I look at Mendoza. I mean, I would look again at Nussmeier further along in the process. You're already talking about people that are probably going to be what Cam Ward was, quarterback ratings, you know, going into the draft.
So, and we appreciate you, Nick. And here's the thing. I think Nussmeier, even though I think he's a lower ceiling quarterback, is a safer pick because you've got a lot of football on him. You've got a lot more data points on him. Thinking about you there, Cleveland Browns. Fernando Mendoza has been a starter almost 3 years in college football. I think that's a lot that you can glean from. That's you'd say, and by the way, still not the amount of football you want to see from that guy, but more football. Dante Moore, I love the physical talent. Scares the crap out of me that he started one season. Who was the other name that he threw out there? Oh, my gosh.
Ty Simpson.
This is the only season he started a full season in. I'm not saying those guys won't turn out. I'm saying those guys are going to be riskier quarterback prospects than guys like even Cam Ward was, where Cam Ward played 72 years and is 67 years old.
Yeah, it does. It feels very risky. The 2026 class has really kind of changed itself. 2027 now seems like the one that everyone wants a piece of.
I hate every second of that, though.
Because it's going to change,
too.
I
agree with Nick. That does stink. Like, if the message is, we're gonna build the foundation and then get the quarterback, which, again, doesn't guarantee you anything in the future, I can understand if a lot of Browns fans go, but wait, that means I still have to watch Dylan and Shador play again next year? That was not the deal.
Well, and then instead of, everyone always goes to, like, 1-31 being awful, and it was, but then this will, in many ways, it'll come close to surpassing it because you'll go 3 years of winning, I don't know, four or fewer games?
Are Shador and Dylan Gabriel battling to be the Browns bridge quarterback next season? Connor Rogers of NBC Sports walks us through all the quarterback prospect names you just heard in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The Lead coming up in about 40 minutes. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We'll have all the big storylines of the day. Pumpy Podesta, back to baseball nerd. We're also talking about Brown.
You're out of here.
It's strike three. The first two, actually, all three strikes are the Deshaun Watson trade.
So just one, two, three, not even swinging the bat.
And
either.
Then there was strike four, never moved to Cleveland. Strike five, the curly hair.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I don't know. I mean, straighten that out. The 6-1. 6-1. Being a baseball guy in a football town. Get the you know what out. Cut it out. Well, Dave Coulier.
Full
there.
House there. Yeah, got that one.
Yeah, Dave Coulier. Let's put some respect on that name. Man's fighting the C word. Now, all this being said, it's time to dive right into the quarterback conversation 2026-2027. The Browns' own crappy quarterback situation, and to talk about all the many things. We head out of the fan hotline, NBC Sports and NFL Stock Exchange podcasts. Connor Rogers joins us right now. Connor, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a little bit better after the Dee Podesta leaving Cleveland thing. I don't know if that registers on your side of things, but we're feeling great today.
Was he that much of an evil character amongst the quiet personnel circles over there?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was just baseball guy running a football organization really upset a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, right? It's always, you know, I've been covering the draft for a long time, and it's always fascinating to learn behind the scenes, like, what people actually do in the roles they're in scouting. Sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. Sometimes you realize people are, you know, maybe not qualified or overhyped by assumption. So I get that feeling of why it's easy to do. And, you know, obviously the baseball aspect is a much more bigger comfort level for him, for sure.
Well, we're just happy he's gone. All right, Connor, let's get to the quarterback class to start this. Obviously, the Browns have two first-round picks. As of right now, neither Dillon Gabriel nor Shedeur Sanders have separated themselves or done anything of any consequence on the football field. So we'll start here. How many potential first-round quarterbacks are you seeing right now?
I think three are really in the conversation, and I would bet a large amount of money that not all three declare. I would actually even say it's closer that two of the three don't declare. And, you know, that's Ty Simpson at Alabama, who's really played his way into this conversation this year. And I always kind of caveat this with a lot of these guys. You know, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana is the next one, and Dante Moore from Oregon is the other one, is that these guys have not played a ton of football, especially Simpson and Moore. Where what we see these next couple months here in big games is really going to matter so much when you're evaluating one-year starters. For Mendoza, it's a little different because he did transfer from Cal where he played, although I still think there's questions about him as well. So I think if the draft was today and all three of those guys declared, all three would go in the first round. And there's a lot of reasons to like all three, as much as you always get a little scared off by the one-year starters, specifically in Moore and Simpson. And then I think the reality is, I don't think Arch Manning is going to declare. I don't think he should. I don't think Lenoris Sellers is going to declare from South Carolina, and I don't think he should. And I think that people are already doing what they always do, understandably, getting very excited for the following year, where we're going to have Julian Sain from Ohio State in that conversation, and maybe C.J. Carr from Notre Dame, and, you know, on and on the wheel kind of spins, guys.
It sounds like, you know, last year it felt like a lot of people were discussing, like, oh, 2026, that'll be the draft, and you got a good draft pick, but you just missed in 2025. And now it feels like we're not even to 2026, and we're doing the same conversation that we just did last year, and people are just moving it to, like,
why?
Yeah, why is that?
Because it's easy to poke holes in guys when you actually have real tape on them. This happens every year, right? It's easy to get excited with flashes, but then when it's time to, you know, get down to brass tacks and evaluate them on a bigger sample size, you're going to find more flaws. It's the hardest position in sports. So, you know, that's not every year. I remember summer scouting before Caleb and Drake May's year, and that year was what I would call a little bit of an outlier year. Like, you watch the tape of Caleb Williams and Drake May and even Michael Penix and Bo Nix going into their last seasons, and you're like, man, there's a lot here with these guys. And then Jaden Daniels played his way all the way up, and J.J. McCarthy went earlier than anyone expected. That's not normal, right? It's not normal for that. Usually you go into a year, like we were, Arch Manning was deemed, you know, the number one overall pick, and a rough start to the season. He started to turn it around. Once again, I don't think he's going to declare, but it's just when you have more games, it's so easy to poke holes in the hardest position to play.
So, if I can glean from this, you think Simpson and Moore will go back to college, and that means Mendoza comes out. When you look at Fernando Mendoza, do you see superstar? Do you see star? Do you see good starting quarterback? What do you see as the potential ceiling there?
More of good starting quarterback, right? Because I don't think he has the playmaking ability out of structure with the raw athleticism to be the superstar. I mean, look at the superstars in the league right now. They can really do it all. It's, you know, Mahomes, Josh Allen, of course, Lamar Jackson when healthy. Burrow's a little different because I think Burrow is such a ridiculously elite processor, and I think even Burrow buys himself more time than Mendoza does, and that's going back to when, you know, he was a prospect as well. I think Mendoza's got a good arm and size, and I think he plays really well within the offense, that he understands exactly what he's supposed to do as a point guard. I think he can make the challenging throws. He runs a little bit in college, but that's not going to be his game at the NFL level. You're going to hear a lot, and I haven't landed here yet, but you're going to hear a lot of people draw back comparisons to Jared Goff kind of players. Now, you know, going back to the original point here, it probably makes the most sense for him to go back to Oregon. They could pay him a ton of money and continue to get bigger and stronger and better. Simpson is a little bit more 50-50, and here's why. And I don't have a direct source on this down at the school, but he's somebody that he was a five-star recruit. He sat for 3 years, all at Alabama, which you love. He didn't just ping-pong around schools looking to play. He's prepared to be as the backup at Alabama before he got his chance to start. And now you're seeing those five-star tools pan out in Alabama's offense. And I think he's a really good processor. He sees things really well pre-snap. He will challenge the middle of the field. I think Simpson actually has a chance to be like, is he a strike while the iron is hot kind of guy? And we have a draft that Mendoza and him go in two of the first three picks.
Connor, I'm curious. Someone like yourself, you had Jadore as the number two quarterback last year, and then you had Dylan Gabriel as the 10th quarterback in your class. When you see that, and then you see how the Browns have gone through this, where the entire stretch of the way, they have told you and everyone that will listen that Dylan Gabriel is better than Shador, and Shador is too far behind, and they've continued to play Dylan Gabriel. What is your reaction when your rankings would have suggested otherwise?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because they do have the issue that they took one player two rounds earlier than the other, and it's not like they took one player in the fifth round and another in the seventh round. They took one on day two, and day two picks usually get a decent run to see if they can show you anything. And Shador was a day three flyer, and just because I thought he was a better player than that, you know, and I think it's a little easier for me doing this from a broad picture. Evaluating a largely the talent, and I think what Shador is he didn't fall just because of talent. I think there's a lot more reasons there. Maybe teams didn't want to put up with the sideshow or whatever it is. I just saw Shador make more pro throws at the college level in bigger spots, it felt like, than Dylan Gabriel. And that's nothing against Dylan Gabriel, that played at a big program in Oregon and I think always punched above his weight class for not a big guy. But it's an offense that, you know, puts enough talent around you and a system that can hide some of your deficiencies where, listen, Shador has his problems too. He holds onto the ball forever. He takes way too many sacks. He needs to play faster. But I also think Shador is much better throwing the ball outside the numbers and in the middle of the field than Dylan Gabriel ever was. So they're in that building every day seeing both guys. So hopefully they're being honest with that process and saying we think one guy is much more ready than the other. I would be fascinated to know what you guys, I'm sure the calls you guys get are outrageous. I'd be curious to know what you guys feel. But if it just based on talent, Shador Sanders at least has a shot in this league to hang around as a starting quarterback. I never projected Dylan Gabriel as anything more than a backup.
I think our take was JP and I were in lockstep. And what I think was particularly frustrating is Shador looked good in every opportunity he was given in camp, when we watched him in camp, and in the preseason until the Rams game. And then I think there was the Rams game became the prevailing take, whereas Dylan looked awful in practice in camp and in his first preseason exposure, and then got into that last game, looked passable, and then the Browns kind of used that to see that we were right about this, and that kind of informed their season. Am I off on anything?
No, you're right. And Connor, I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because I wanted to know if you just think it's as pull your hair out frustratingly mad as we do, the idea that you spend so much of your time and so much of your energy, and I think you capped it right. And as of right now, you're being proven right because Dylan is not playing good football, but they continue to tell you otherwise for months on end. And I'm sure you had a lot of people in your mentions being like, what happened here?
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, it's a weird one, right? Because it's not like I evaluated Shador as this surefire top 20 pick or anything like that. And I try to really avoid doing the quarterback curve exercise. I thought Cam Ward was definitely in a league of his own, and Jackson Dart's playing better than anybody ever anticipated. While, you know, we're going to get a look at Tyler Shuck. But I do think there's something there where, you know, sometimes teams just totally overreact to the situation. And it feels like, if you're the Browns right now, you need to get a look at everything you possibly can, because you're going to be going into a draft where you might have to make another quarterback decision. And I wouldn't want to go into that draft saying, well, I never even got a look at Shador. Well, then why'd you even draft him, right? And this is a larger conversation way at the top. Where was the divide on who wanted him, who didn't? What was the plan for him? Did they have one for him? And that's a very, very frustrating conversation for me as somebody that evaluates all these players every year. I try to get to well over 300, and I feel like I, especially getting to talk to, you know, about 45 of them one-on-one at the combine each year, I generally have a good idea of what guys can and can't do, what the development plan should be for them, and it just blows my mind. Billion-dollar organizations, and this isn't crediting me, it's really just discrediting them, billion-dollar organizations with massive staff and all these things don't have the right plan for all these guys, or put guys in, you know, square pegs and round hole situations. And it just feels like the Shador case is it kind of a waste of everyone's time. Is that egregious to say?
No. To this point, in until they play him, it's sure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Feels like we've wasted a lot of time on this one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, and I watch their offense as much as I can with Dylan Gabriel, and you can't live in the NFL that way, man. Like, you can't. It's, you know, it's just, it's a very, very hard way to play football, and it wasn't that hard of a projection. I think the consensus was that was the kind of quarterback he was going to have to be at the NFL level, and a guy that maybe spot starts for you at times, but they're giving him a genuine run to show, like, can he be anything more than that? And third-round capital is third-round capital. You know, it's not a lotto ticket pick. You should be able to get some kind of decent player with that selection in a good front office.
Yeah, I was really frustrated because I really like Charles Grant out of William & Mary as a developmental offensive line piece. Can I ask you, as offensive line and defensive line is where I tend to watch, I never proclaim myself as a tape watcher, but if I do, I focus on the trenches because that's just what I believe is most important outside of quarterback. I'm surprised that there's a kid out of Utah, Caleb Lamu, who I've watched a couple times now, and he looks like a prototypical NFL tackle, and every ranking I've seen of him or every mock draft has him as like the 16th pick, the 20th pick, the 25th pick. I'm just surprised why, given the scarcity of great left tackles, I'm not sure if you've done work on him, why a kid like that hasn't maybe shot up to be a potential top 10 pick yet.
No, it's a good call out for sure. Lamu is somebody that we heavily evaluated throughout summer scouting. I believe this is only his third year in college. I want to say he's a redshirt sophomore. Yep. I had him as the sixth best tackle in the draft from our summer rankings out of, I believe I evaluated 15. So, and honestly, a little bit of a slower start to the year, but he's really turned it on this last month is what I've noticed, or at least over the second half of their season so far, which should be expected for a redshirt sophomore that I think in the spring he was probably only about 300 pounds, and he's going to play at 320, 315 in the NFL. He's got that kind of frame for a youngster. I think he's 6'6". You know, and Spencer Fano, their other tackle, is projected as a potential first-round pick as well. So Utah has bookends at tackle.
I think projections can be slow to catch up because what they often do is sometimes they tell you what a guy is right now, and the NFL does not evaluate offensive linemen in that strategy. They will evaluate what you can be if you're a younger player, right? And I think that goes back to Lamu, who absolutely has all the tools, size, mentality of a top 15, top 10 kind of pick. And I'll tell you this right now, what helps him more than anything, this tackle class hasn't played very well this season compared to summer expectations. A lot of guys are going to have to move inside the guard. Some of them don't have the length. Some of them don't have the feet. Lamu has everything. So I ultimately thought going into this year there was a good chance he would return for another season and then go be a top 5 to 8 pick. But once again, could be a strikes while the iron is hot kind of guy, and would not shock me if he's actually the first tackle taken in this draft if he declared.
I probably should also be playing closer to about 325, but that was my 20s. All right, buddy, we appreciate you. Great stuff, and I'm sure we'll bug you to be on several times between now and April, man. Appreciate
you. Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, bud. Connor Rogers there, NBC Sports and NFL Stock Exchange podcast. If you haven't heard the Stock Exchange podcast, that's with Trevor Sikkema. Very fun. Those guys, they're football guys. They're also a lot of fun. Really good. Great stuff there with Connor Rogers. We'll react to what he had to say about the quarterback class. Probably won't talk a lot of Caleb Lamu. That's for March.
He didn't fall just because of talent. I think there's a lot more reasons there. Maybe teams didn't want to put up with the sideshow or whatever it is. I just saw Shador make more pro throws at the college level in bigger spots, it felt like, than Dillon Gabriel. And that's nothing against Dillon Gabriel, that played at a big program in Oregon and I think always punched above his weight class for not a big guy. But it's an offense that puts enough talent around you and a system that can hide some of your deficiencies where, listen, Shador has his problems too. He holds onto the ball forever. He takes way too many sacks. He needs to play faster. But I also think Shador is much better throwing the ball outside the numbers and in the middle of the field than Dillon Gabriel ever was. So they're in that building every day seeing both guys. So hopefully they're being honest with that process and saying we think one guy is much more ready than the other. It just based on talent, Shador Sanders at least has a shot in this league to hang around as a starting quarterback. I never projected Dillon Gabriel as anything more than a backup.
Connor Rogers joining us in the last segment, NBC Sports and NFL Stock Exchange podcast, giving us his take on the Browns' handling of this quarterback situation. I do think that's what makes it so interesting is, I think this weekend's a great opportunity that if Dillon doesn't go out there and plays well on 2 weeks rest against one of the worst teams in the NFL, who's coming off one of the worst situations in the NFL, there should be a lot of ahas, there should be a lot of I told you so's. And now, in fairness, I think if he plays well, there's going to be a couple I told you so's, but yeah, I'll still have the greater burden of proof.
Yeah, it's too premature for the I told you so's if he plays well.
But I feel the same way about Shador. Like, I do think when they went to Dillon, I was just looking for competent. Can you give us a chance? Mm-hmm. And the reality is you've gotten blown out in half the games he's played. So the answer to this point is no. With Shador, all I really want is just... And you know what? Let's just dial it down to the absolute bait. I just want a fun offense. I don't need I don't need spotless. I don't need flawless.
Something that gives you a chance.
I want something where a actual, real-life, honest-to-goodness, 50-yard touchdown's possible.
In many ways, it actually Dillon has really helped out the soft launch of Shador when it comes, because the expectations will not be through the roof like it once was. It'll be much, much softer. And if it just looks competent, I think a lot of fans will be like, all right, this is good. Whereas I feel like if he would have been first out of the gate, people might have been expecting number two overall pick play.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know, because I think there are people who are just anti-Shador in town. So I think those people expect, if he's anything other than that, they're going to be saying he's a bust.
I just wonder. I wonder if because of the way this offense has looked and the way that, and even this goes with Joe Flacco going to Cincinnati and playing the way that he has, the way this is all unfolded, I feel like if Shador just looks average, or even, we can just say, even a little less than average, I think people will get it as a massive win.
I will. I mean, again, if you get average, if you had gotten average since week one of this year, I think you'd probably be a 500 football team. Or at the very least, even if you're still just a 3-win team, they play 8 games. So, no, I think you'd be a 500 team.
Yeah, the way this defense is.
And I think the most important thing is the other 4 games would look more competitive. And it's been funny how, you know, Ross Tucker busted my haggis on this last week, as if competitive doesn't matter. And it's like, no, it does. And I think it's funny. I can't remember which one of you told me, but the picks for this Jets game, Two of the three, was it ESPN that did that this morning?
I didn't tell you this, but I did see the NFL Network earlier yesterday. They had six out of the 10 were for the Browns, but that's still four that had the Jets, and that's close to 50-50.
So it must have been Jake. Jake said whatever he was watching, two of the three analysts chose the Jets, and one of them chose the Jets to blow out the Browns.
Oh, I didn't see that.
How
did the Jets blow out the Browns? What happens there in this game?
They score more points than you by a significant amount.
Yeah, is that how that works?
Yeah.
Thanks for the analysis.
Yeah. So like they score like 40 points and you score like 3 points. That's how they do it.
Okay. I was thinking more like, were they thinking about like the Cincinnati game? And are they just saying that that's going to happen? Because are they thinking the Browns defense is the Bengals defense? Because then I need to get them some tapes of games this year.
I don't know. I do think, and by the way, we're right to do this. I do think we've not given enough thought to the idea the Browns can lose on Sunday. And I think what that sets up for is if they do lose, a nuclear meltdown on Monday. And by the way, I think that should be the response.
I mean, my Sunday is going to be ruined. I told you this already. Like, that'll be shot and gone. I know you try to. I know you preemptively are trying to make sure that I'm cool with this and that I don't have a meltdown. But I can tell you right now, my Sunday is going to be ruined.
Well, no, I mean, I just think it's an answer. I think you get the answer right. Like, if this is a game you can't show up to and get the win, then the four games after it, three of the four, which are incredibly winnable, guys, if you can't win this game, we shouldn't expect them to win any of those games. If you don't win this game on Sunday,
right,
we should probably lean closer to you're going to go 1-8 or 0-9 down the stretch, and that's it. But I do think, but again, like, I think you'll be taking the right approach. I think we should, even though it's only a point and a half line, a 2-point line.
That's part of why my Sunday will get ruined, is not only just because of the outcome of one singular game, it is what you're describing, is that if you can't beat this hapless Jets team that is selling off a lot of the good parts of their defense, then you're not going to be able to beat just about anybody. Like, there's no hope for the rest of the season in any capacity. That includes a Raiders team that I watched basically be the walking dead out there last night.
But that's why this is an important game. Because if you don't win this one, the next eight games after are a hard sell. And I think Kevin Stefanski, I think all of a sudden we can start having questions about whether Kevin will make it to the end of the season, let alone will Kevin Stefanski be the head coach in 2026.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of game you're setting up for here. So on one hand, no, we have not given nearly enough credence to the idea the Browns could lose on Sunday because these teams are much closer to each other than the Browns were to, who's the team they beat?
The Packers.
Them. But like, and on the other hand, I also don't mind. Like, if we're just wrong, if the Browns just can't show up on Sunday, and I would be really surprised. I really would at this point. No guarantee Gary here. I'm not guaranteeing a win.
I want you to be a guarantee Gary.
I'm 3-for-3 on my guarantees.
Will you be
this year
a guarantee Gary? Two guarantees in one game.
They were both right.
You don't get all those. If you make a double burger bet with Coach Riz, you're not right twice.
But I get two burgers.
Yes, but you're not right twice.
But I got two burgers, which means I was right twice.
Would you have counted it negative a negative two if you had lost that guarantee?
I will never know.
I guess not.
Well, no, you're asking a hypothetical of a moment that's never come because flawless on guarantees this year.
I
know how I'd react if I'm not in that situation?
Yeah, but you're not, in the one game the Browns are favored, you're not going to be the guarantee Gary?
No, because I have to feel into my loins. I've told
you
this multiple times.
That's right, that's right.
Multiple times. Back to the Blink 182.
Twomy.
I've told you, I got to feel it. In my loins. If I feel it in my loins, I'll guarantee it.
You sound like a New Englander having sex about Tom Brady.
Oh,
Tommy.
Oh, Tom Brady. Oh.
That was Wahlberg.
I'm horny. Hey, a Transformer. True story. I have to have Hacksaw Cop one Friday. Because all his impressions outside of Randy Newman or Bob Dylan, he just says something from the movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, give me a McConaughey, he's like, all right. And I'm like, that's not.
It doesn't do
so, his,
yeah.
So his Wahlberg is Hey, give me your Mark Wahlberg. Hey, I see a transformer. You're like, that's not. You're just saying something. You're saying a loose plot from a movie that he was in. I actually don't think in any of those movies. It's like, hey, transformer. What are we doing here?
But it sounds like something.
And
he
then he just brutally assaults Optimus Prime from Boston. But no, this should be the game. This should be
the
game.
Yeah, this is the one. Yeah, no guarantee.
We should walk in and just expect to get the win. And if you don't, like...
I think our guarantees done for the rest of the season? Have we hit the spot of the season where guarantees are just no longer a thing? I told you I was done with them never, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I've been done
you're
with
like
guarantees.
A guaranteed heroin addict because
there's
like there's no cheap high for you anymore. You've got to you gotta have give me the greatest amount of smack ever, right?
You might as well be giving me sugar packets.
That's true. But that would be if you're a diabetic. But I get what you're saying. My point is, no, guaranteeing isn't dead if you're... Because, again, I could feel it in my loins later in this... Because it doesn't have to be just a game result. It could be I guarantee Dylan Gabriel's going to get benched. Ooh, I could guarantee that right now.
You won't guarantee that.
It in my loins, but I don't know. That's just really
you do?
A very
you feel that in your loins?
Not like in a game, but I guarantee you we will not start the rest of the games this year.
Oh, no. I thought you meant like... You
but
said
see,
benched.
That's not
you
my guarantee.
I thought you meant
I'm just
in
saying.
This game. I thought you meant in this game he would be benched.
Oh, no. No.
No.
No.
He's going to have time.
216-474-0092. Have we not given enough thought to the Browns losing on Sunday? We haven't. That's okay. This should be the game. The circumstances conspire. They happened in the Miami game. You got a very convincing win. This is the kind of win. And it, nope, we're not doing the style points thing. Win by 1 point, win by 10 points. Do not give a rat's
patoot. No, but we've got to be entering this with the same energy we had with the Miami game.
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be that energy.
Which means if we're that confident, guarantee or not, it's okay if you guys go thermonuclear on Monday. I see a twist one. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.